Okay, I'm actually a little bit worried about time, so I'm gonna. So I had a request to do something that's in my book, but that's not exactly stand up. So I was going to do it from the book. Would you guys be okay with that?
Yeah. All right.
It has the word anal in it, so. And it doesn't involve Fire Island or Dapper Dan, which are, seems to be the things that folks really don't, that aren't getting behind. Okay. All right, and there's an audience participation part, perhaps. Or at least there was when I did it at Powell's Bookstore. So maybe you guys can figure out where that is. All right, so it starts with me talking about going to nursing school. And I went to nursing school funded by the Teresa M. McKenzie Memorial Scholar Fund, which was administered by extremely rich people. And basically, I was coached about how to dress up for the interview. And the dean of the nursing school, because I had to actually meet with the folks who were giving away the money, right? The rich people who were giving away the money, I had to meet personally with them. And so the dean took one look at me and spent like 45 minutes coaching me on what I would wear to the interview. She told me where to buy a skirt outfit. I didn't even know that was a thing. And then she also told me to make sure I wear stockings. And I'm really glad she clarified afterwards pantyhose, because otherwise I could imagine. Anyway, she didn't tell me that you're supposed to shave your legs before you wear pantyhose. And so I showed up at the interview with the very rich people with, like, it looked like I was a porcupine, you know, below the waist. Oh, and I hadn't taken off the tag off the skirt. Which was fine because I returned it on the way home anyway. All right, so they ended up giving me the scholarship, and that's how I got the money to go to nursing school. But the money for my living expenses came from working at a low-demand shelter. A low-demand shelter is exactly what it sounds like, which is to say it is a shelter in which the demands on the facility's residents are very low. For example, many shelters require that residents refrain from using drugs or alcohol in their facility, and that the residents take their prescribed psychiatric medications. This shelter that I worked at had no such regulations, even though most of the women who stayed there had issues with severe mental illness and substance abuse. Most of these were homeless women who were extremely vulnerable on the street and also regularly caused a general ruckus wherever they went in downtown Philly. The city funded the shelter to try and prevent the latter, but as a staff, we were primarily worried about the former. So one of the first nights I was staffing the shelter alone, I witnessed a resident named Teresa, and she was taking advantage of a quiet moment in the living room to prepare her last heroin shot of the day. I looked at her and cocked my head. You can't shoot up in the living room. They said there aren't any rules here. Well, there's not a lot of rules, but there are some. Show me in the rule book where it says that. I looked through the policy and procedure three-ring binder kept on the desk, and she was right. There was not a no shooting up in the living room rule. I thought it was a good policy, though. Well, okay, it's not a rule, but I still think you shouldn't shoot up in the living room. I was floundering because it's an illegal activity, and I'm not supposed to see it. I had a brainstorm, and it's not fair to the other women. I meant it's not fair to the other women who might be in recovery, but Teresa misunderstood it. It's not my fault if they're all out of smack. But then she reconsidered. You'll probably make me share. As if that was in the rule book. A few days later, Teresa came back to the shelter extremely mad about an unrelated incident and swinging a 2x4. I could see her through the closed circuit TV, and I refused to let her in. She shouted at me through the little black intercom box, using every expletive in the English language, and a few I am quite certain that she just made up just then. You can't come into the shelter swinging a 2x4, I said, mustering up all the authority and what I hoped was street cred that my 2 weeks working at the shelter had earned me. Teresa wasn't having it. I know there isn't a rule about that. She was getting louder, threatening to wake everybody up in the shelter, which would not have been a pretty sight. I sputtered into the intercom. No, it's not a rule, but you can't come into the shelter swinging a 2x4 because you are bigger and stronger than me, and you don't need the 2x4 to kick my ass. This logic clicked with Teresa. I watched through the monitor as she tucked the wood between the dumpster and the side of the building and returned to the door. I let her in, she patted me on the head, and went directly to bed. I am the kind of person, if I'm working at a shelter, I will get petted on the head a lot. Over time, I grew to enjoy the women who lived at the shelter and cherished that job. I would study late at night for my nursing school. The person staffing the shelter on the 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. shift was required to make breakfast. This was mostly an easy task, warming up pastries or putting out cold cereal and making sure the coffee was ready when the women started to wake up. On weekends, the shelter manager would put eggs on the menu. The women all got up at different times, and it was impossible to keep the eggs warm, so I started cooking eggs to order. It was humbling how much the women appreciated this simple gesture. In the evenings, the staff person on duty was supposed to sit at the front desk in order to be able to quickly let residents in, or I suppose to keep out anyone trying to swing a 2x4. Next to the desk was a payphone for resident use, which some of the women would use to conduct their business. As staff, we felt ambivalent about the shelter-provided payphone being used to negotiate sex work. On one hand, it was technically illegal, and we were always concerned that the shelter would be run out of the neighborhood. On the other hand, we didn't want the women having to constantly run in and out of the shelter or having their clients knock on the door. One evening, it was particularly busy, and Teresa was answering the phone and brokering the calls. Maybe she was testing me, or maybe her feet were just tired, but she insisted on yelling the requests into the living room. Hey, who wants to work tonight? Or, Shelly, you busy later on? I looked at her over my books. You know I'm right here, I can hear you. She yelled again, but more quietly. The evening wore on, and I gave up the battle after I secured a promise from Teresa that she would stop answering the phone when the lights went off at 11 p.m. Less than 30 minutes later, just as I began checking over the log to find out what I was supposed to be making for the next morning breakfast, I heard Teresa's voice louder than she had been all evening. Linda, Whitney, Renee, which one of you guys takes it up the ass? I stood up. I yelled back at Teresa, matching her decibel for decibel. You can't just take 15 steps into the living room and ask quietly? I said, as if I were suddenly the Emily Post of the shelter world. Come on, you know who does anal. Every woman in the shelter heard me. Every woman in the shelter thought it was the most ludicrous thing a human being has ever said in all of recorded history. The laughter spread from the living room into the dorm, rising, then falling, then rising again. Each time that it seemed that the ridiculousness of what I had said spent itself, one of the women would repeat, "You know who does anal." In Midwestern white person voice that was supposed to sound like me, the cycle would repeat itself. The laughter didn't last just that night. Whenever I went in downtown Philadelphia shopping, going out to eat, attempting to romance my latest crush, if I ran into one of the women from the shelter, I'd hear, "You know who does anal!" Followed by uproarious laughter. It was a strange form of celebrity. For my nursing school graduation, the women at the shelter did an amazing thing. They all chipped in and made me a dress. The dress looked like it had been made by a dozen drug-addicted women with severe, untreated mental illness living in a low-demand shelter, because it was. Renee, the administrator of the dress, called it a classic A-line. It was mainly blue. Except the back, where they had run out of blue material and used green instead. Part of the hem was finished with mint dental floss. I thought it was beautiful. I wore that dress to my nursing school graduation because if a dozen drug-addicted women with severe untreated mental illness living in a low-demand shelter get together and make you a dress, you are required by the laws of ethics, etiquette, and human decency to wear it. Also, all the women from the shelter had invited themselves to my nursing school graduation. I couldn't have been more proud as I walked across the stage in my all-homeless designer dress to receive my Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. As I reached over to shake the university president's hand, I heard cheering and laughter and 12 voices above all the others. You know who does anal! Because there were 12 women yelling in a crowd of 500, I hope that most people at the graduation could not make out the words of my special congratulatory greeting. When I went to shake the hands of the extremely rich people who always attended the school graduation, the folks who gave me the money for the scholarship, one of them said, "Were those women yelling, 'You know who does?'" And then she stopped. I suppose that's not a sentence that extremely rich people who care about things like pantyhose and looking ladylike get to say very often. I waited, hoping my silence would force her into finishing. She sputtered, well, you have very interesting friends. I smiled proudly and said, yeah, I do. Thank you. Super ungracious for you guys to be like, "Wow, you're awesome, that was great." I'm like, "Hey, what? What's going on?" But I was actually looking for Red, so thank you so much. So Red is in the bathroom? Oh. Stephanie, are you on your way to the bathroom as well? Yeah. Hey, Red, would you like to perform now? Because I'm done. And give it up, everybody, for Red Durkin!